I'm going to be reading just one verse of scripture in a moment from John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. You know, you learn much, and you can learn much by observing how a person relates to another individual, how they receive them, whether they receive them or whether they reject them, whether they welcome them or whether they put up a wall and refuse to let them in. This morning, I want to begin to bring to close our series that we've been meditating on for a while, What is God Like? I say begin because I know I'll have to break all this down at least into 2 messages. But this morning I want us to observe how the Lord relates to others. And I want to consider what I call this morning His welcome. His welcome, His receiving of you and me. It's just one verse. It's verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Again, this is yet just another verse that lets us look into the heart of God and lets us see what God is like. Here is what God is like. Not what we wish He were like. Not what we think He's like. Here in this verse, the Lord Himself is declaring what His Father is like and what He Himself is like. Now I want to begin this morning by taking the verse as a whole. What a verse. What a verse. What a verse this is. All, not most, not a lot, not many, not the majority, no, all that the Father sets His love on. The Father. It's God the Father who makes the first move. It's God the Father who initiates this thing of salvation before you and I were ever even looking in His direction. Hallelujah. He has set His love. The Father has set His love upon us. Giveth. Doesn't barter. Doesn't haggle. Doesn't sell. Doesn't trade. No. Giveth. Oh my, and those that He giveth, what does He say? They shall come. It's a word of certainty. Amen. Not mere possibility, but a word of certainty. God's salvation is a certain salvation. He will accomplish His purpose. He will accomplish His will. He says to me, all that the Father giveth me, To Christ Himself. Oh my. Then notice what He says. Him. The one given by the Father. Him. The one that the Father has set His loving heart upon. Him. And we'll see in a moment that it's anyone who comes, oh my, the Savior will receive. He will welcome. Notice what He goes on to say. Cometh to me. Not to some creed, not to a list of do's and don'ts, not even to the church, and not even to a preacher, no, but cometh to me. And He concludes by saying, I, Christ, the Lord, I will never cast them out, put them away from myself. In other words, He's saying, all that the Father giveth unto me shall come unto me, and I will welcome them unto myself. This is what God is like this morning. He is a welcoming God this morning that will receive you, whoever you are, if you will but come.
if you will but come unto him. Now that's the verse as a whole. I want to break it down. In fact, it's broken down naturally in two parts, in two sentences by our Lord himself. And hear me say this. You know this, I know, because we've read from the Word of God. But both of these statements, both of these sentences, both of these statements are true. They stand alone and can stand alone. But oh my, what God had joined together, you and I ought not try to put asunder or to pull apart. Some think these two statements, some think these two sentences in this verse need to be reconciled. I said to you, as Spurgeon said, friends don't need to be reconciled. No, they are in unity. They are in unity from the beginning. Any conflict that anyone sees in this verse, in these two statements, exists in the minds of men. There is no conflict in the mind of God. Now, with that said, I said to you, you may not be aware of it, but I'm sure most of you are, that a lot of people that do see a conflict in these statements, they see they just can't seem to go together. I propose to you this morning, someone that has that position, they just don't know what God is like. They just don't understand what God is like. Now, right quick, let's break it down. There is in this first part a presentation. The Father is making and is telling us of a presentation that he has made. A present has been given by the Father to the Son. And we didn't continue to read, but listen to verse 39. This is the will of God. This giving by the Father to the Son, this present, this gift, this presentation, you know what it is? It's the will of God. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing or mine. This is God's will. And I'd reminded this morning, God's will is good, and God's will is right, and God's will is best, and God's will is eternal. And God the Father has given unto the Son a gift, a presentation has been made. In eternity past, God the Father makes a gift to the Son. Now, this is real simple this morning, but in order to be given, in order for the Father to give, he must possess. In order for the Father to make a gift to the Son, he's got to have ownership. He's got to possess. Well, I remind you, he possesses and owns all things by creation. Oh my, we know that as well. But oh my, those that are his children, oh my, he has possessed us, for he has chosen and set his love upon us. From when? From before the foundation of the world. In fact, that's how he has obtained. I mean, how is it these that the Father gives? How is it? And when did he obtain them? Before, real simple. You don't have to let words booger you this morning. Real simple. Before the foundation of the world, He chose, oh my, those he would give to the Son. You say, you sure, preacher? Well, of course I am, but here's proof of it. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God the Father makes a gift. God the Father gives a gift. He chooses those he will give from before the foundation of the world. And in time, the Father then draws them to the Son and gives them in time, oh my, if you please, to the Son. In fact, hours over almost a dozen pages in your Bible, in John 17, just hours before the cross, hours before his death. And if he's speaking of it, and in John 17 specifically, he's praying about it, if hours before his death, he is thinking of something, dwelling on something, praying about something, must be mighty important. And in John 17, again and again, he mentions this gift, this presentation that he has received from the Father. Just listen. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 6, I've manifested thy name unto the men, listen, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, they belonged to the Father. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Oh my, listen to verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Listen to verse 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name, listen, those whom thou hast given me. Listen to verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Listen to one more, verse 24. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. You want to know what God is like? God the Father gives a gift to the Son. God the Father makes a presentation of those he's chosen from before the foundation of the world to give unto the Son. Notice the text. Those given and all those given come. They come and they're welcome when they're come. They're welcome when they come unto him. How come? This is what God is like. This is what God the Father is like. He gives unto the Son. This is what the Son is like. He receives those the Father hath given unto him. There's a presentation here. But it's the second part of the verse. It's the second statement that I want to park at for a moment or two. For it's this promise. The first part of the verse is a presentation, a proclamation. The second part is a promise. Oh my. Now the promise is simple. The promise is simple. Those given by the Father come to the Son. That's the promise that the Lord made. Those given come. Not might. Not that they might come. Not that maybe they will come. No. Christ himself, not some preacher. Christ himself says, all those given by the Father to me shall come unto me. That is the promise that the Lord declares. Oh my. But notice the promise is simple. Those given come. And those who come, they are welcomed. They are received unto himself. In fact, beyond that, they're not just welcomed. They're kept, and they're kept forever, and they're kept eternally. In fact, just a few pages over, he says, oh my, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Listen, my Father, which gave them me. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Oh my, the promise is simple. Those that are given come, and those that come are welcome, and those that are welcome are kept. Oh my, you know what that means this morning? We can't wear out our welcome. We can't wear out our welcome. You and I can't do anything that would cause him to cast us aside, because we didn't do anything for him to receive us unto himself. Oh my, oh my. This is what God is like this morning. He makes this tremendous promise. Oh my, oh my. Now if you want to know, again, if you want to know this morning what God is like, see how he welcomes men. See how he welcomes sinners. See how he receives them unto himself. I want to tell you this morning, the heart of God, the heart of the Father and the heart of the Son are both on display in this one verse. Now, key to this verse, key to this presentation, and key to this promise even more so, is this thought of coming. In fact, it's not just a key to this verse. It's a key to the context of this entire chapter. And you and I need to see this morning who it is that comes first. Who it is that comes first. So how come that's important, preacher? That tells us what God is like. This is not a quid pro quo. No, no, no. He's not waiting to see whether or not you and I'll do something. No, God the Father gives unto the Son from before the foundation of the world. The Father makes a presence to the Son. But don't miss it now. He also gives us a present. He also gives the Son as a present as well. That's why we love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. He's a giving God. And that's in the context of this chapter. That's in the context of all of John's gospel, that God is a giving God. Now back up in verse 32 and 33. Notice this giving that God does. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Oh my, oh my. God himself, God the Father, not only in eternity past gave those he's chosen to the Son, God the Father in eternity past, oh my, has chosen to give the Son as a gift of life. For you and for me this morning. Why? He's a giving God. Oh my. And he paints this picture by pointing us to the manna and Moses. Oh my. It looked like Moses was giving it, but it wasn't Moses that was giving it. And in this thing of salvation, it sometimes looks that like it's because of something you've done and I've done. No, no, no. It's the one that is given. It's the one that's given. And this gift of bread back in the days of Moses didn't come from Moses. It came from God. And salvation does not come from men. It comes from God. And as they didn't earn it, as they didn't deserve it, as they didn't deserve that manna that fell. In fact, you could say the Lord was daily loading them up with benefits. Every day, oh my, twice the amount on the sixth day, the Lord was loading them up with, the Lord was giving them the benefits of the manna. The Lord was giving. But he not only has given manna. No, he's not only given manna. He's given the bread of life. He's given the Son himself. So God's a giving God. He gives a present to the Son. But he makes the Son a present to you and me, to those who come. Oh my, him this morning. Don't miss this though. You got to remember what they had to do. The manna was given, but they still had to gather it. The manna was given, but they had to gather it. God the Father, in eternity past, has made a present, given those who He has chosen unto the Son, given the Son unto us, oh my. Yes, God the Father has given, but we must still come. We must still come to Him. This one verse, if men would just let the Bible be the Bible, this one verse could defuse all of the conflict of those that can't seem there to fit together the sovereign election of God and human responsibility. Oh man. Jesus, though, to remind you now, Jesus is dealing as He's standing here, as He's giving these truths. By the way, this is not a Wednesday night prayer meeting. He's giving these truths to a multitude of people. Many there were lost and did not know the Lord. He's giving this truth to all who hear. And Jesus is dealing in this text with those who come to Him, with those who respond to Him, with those who have received Him, with those who have embraced Him, with those who have believed on Him, if you want to say it that way. Oh my. And what does Christ say about every one of them? He says, they are my Father's gift. They are my Father's gift. But why this morning would God the Father, give such a gift to His Son? More importantly this morning, why would God the Father give me to the Son? I'll not speak for you this morning, but I think I could. But why would the Father give me to the Son this morning? I'll tell you this morning, I don't have any logical reason for that. I can't come up with any good reason for that other than what they sung of just a little while ago. It's just the grace and the love of God. And it's just simply, this is what God is like in love and grace. He's chosen to give a gift to His Son, oh my. And this love and this grace ought to amaze us. No wonder John says in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love God hath bestowed. He says, behold this love that's out of this world. Behold this love that's unlike any other love. Oh my, this morning. One reason only, because this is what God is like. Now hear me this morning. God the Father, before the foundation of the world, chose to make a present to His Son. Do you then think God the Father is going to leave the delivery of the present up to chance? Oh, no. God the Father at Calvary, determined that the Son's work, the Son's life, and the Son's death would not be in vain, but would accomplish that which He purposed, that the Son would become the firstborn of many brethren. That's exactly what the prophet Isaiah declares unto us when he says, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied, and by His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Oh my, this thing of salvation is not some mere possibility. It is a certainty. Why? God the Father gave. God the Father presented. And God the Father draws those He's given unto his Son. Hear me this morning. God the Father just didn't make salvation possible. He made it certain. God the Father didn't give a gift to the Son in eternity past and then cross his fingers and say, boy, I hope it works out. I hope they all find him. I hope they all somehow get to him. Oh, no, 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 no. This present is going to be delivered. This present is going to be brought. God the Father is going to draw. And that's exactly what he says in verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Oh my. Why would the Father do that? Why? He's made a present to the Son. He's determined to give me to the Son. And hear me this morning. Those who never come, those who will not come, those who do not come, they have not been given by the Father. Say, preacher, you sure? Yes, his promise, his proclamation, his presentation, his promise. They've not been given. They're not, to say it this way, the way John says it, four chapters over in chapter 10. I didn't read this verse a moment ago. They're not his sheep. They're not his sheep. But ye believe not. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Why? Because the Son always welcomes those who come. Why? Because the Son always welcomes the gift of the Father. The shepherd always welcomes his sheep. Now, right quick this morning, how can you and I, though, be certain of this promise? It's not my promise. It's not some preacher's promise. It's not some theologian's promise. No, this is Christ. Promise. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But how can we be certain? Well, we can be certain because of what the promise doesn't say. What it doesn't say. Notice the first part of the text does not say, all who come to me, the Father will give me them. That's not what he says. You know what? That would make salvation dependent upon you and me. That would mean God would look down through a telescope of time and then see who would come. And because they came, he would then give them to his Son. Well, who gets glory in that? Not God. Who gets credit for that? Who's that hinged upon? It's not hinged upon God. In fact, to be real plain, that's putting coming before giving. Is that what this verse says? Does the Word of God say that? No, the Word of God says the opposite. We've been given, and because we've been given, we come. And we come because we're drawn by the Father, because he's given us unto the Son. Oh, my, 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 my. No question this morning. The ones given shall come. In fact, let me say it more pointed. The ones given come. The ones given come. Every one of them. Who gets glory for that? The one who gives, the one who gives, the one who draws, the one who brings, and the one who welcomes. That's where the glory belongs, and that's where the glory goes. Oh my. The Father's giving not only precedes, but the Father's giving produces and guarantees the coming. Why? It's beyond our comprehension to figure out why. This is just what God is like, that he would so love, that he would so care, that he would so love. He would make this present unto the Son, and make him a present unto you and unto me. Now, him and I circling the runway. I know what some of you are thinking. You think, well, how do I know? I am one of those that has been given. Hear me this morning. Don't try to figure out the presentation. Believe the promise. Don't try to figure out the presentation. Believe the promise. Come to Him and He will welcome you and receive you unto Himself. Why? Because that's what God's like. Because that's what God is like this morning. Hear me this morning. I mince no words. I am not stuttering. The Bible does not say, if you are one of the elect, come. The Bible does not say, if you are one of those chosen, come. The Bible does not say, if you are one of those given, come. But the Bible simply says, come, and He will welcome you. Come, and He will welcome you. And if you have been given, you shall come. You shall come. You may say you will not come, but you shall come. Hey, mama, daddy, you may think they will not come, but they will come. They shall come. If they've been given by the Father, God will draw them. God will bring them unto His Son. This is the promise of God. This is what God is like. Oh, my. Hear this promise this morning. In fact, hear what John Bunyan said. He said, him, any him that cometh, him, any him in the world that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Unless you've got some off-handed Bible this morning, they're not any buts. They're not any exceptions in verse 37. They're not any buts. They're not any. All the objections are cut down. All the objections are laid aside. No, it doesn't say him that cometh but. Him that cometh but the rich. Oh, if you had some money, you'd be left out. Doesn't say him that cometh but the commoner. That means if you didn't have education, have some schooling, you'd be left out. No. There are no buts. It is simply him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, again, hear Bunyan right here. But I'm a great sinner, you say. I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. I'm an old sinner, you say. I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. But I'm a hardened sinner, you say. But I will no wise cast you out, says Christ. I'm a backsliding sinner, you say. I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. I've served Satan all my days, but I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. I've sinned against the light, you say, but I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. I've sinned against mercy, you say, but I will in no wise cast you out, says Christ. I have no good thing to bring with me, you say, but Christ says, I will in no wise cast you out. Oh my, I believe I'll just live and go by what Christ says instead of men. Oh my, this morning I'm trying to magnify what God is like by having our notice. He is welcome. You say, but preacher, oh, I don't think He would receive me, preacher. Do you really think the Son would not receive something given by the Father? I've got in my office a stack, a lot of them are faded now. I was having to think of this. I've got in my Bible a birthday card. I've got a stack of Father's Day, handmade birthday cards, handmade Father's Day cards. You think I looked at them and throw them away because they didn't come from Hallmark? Nah, there's better made than that, made by my own youngins. Oh, my. Take the reverse. You think the Son will not receive those that the Father gives? Hear me this morning. Here's what God is like. He receives sinners. He receives those the Father gives unto the Son. Now, do you remember? Brother Brian, come get ready to sing something. Do you remember how we began this series of what God is like? Do you remember we looked at Christ's own description of himself? And he said, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden. Come, I'll give you rest. How come? I'm meek and lowly in heart. This is what God is like. But you may be listening this morning, you still may be saying, I don't know, preacher. I don't know if he'd receive me. This verse is one of Spurgeon's favorite texts. He can say it more eloquent than I ever could. Hear him. Sinners, let me address you with words of life. Jesus wants nothing from you. That's not what most Baptists say. Jesus wants nothing from you, nothing whatsoever. Nothing done, nothing left, felt. He gives both work and feeling. Ragged, penniless, just as you are, lost, forsaken, desolate, with no good feelings, with no good hopes, Jesus still comes to you, and in words of pity, he addresses you and says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The man may be guilty of an atrocious sin, too black to mention. But if he comes to Christ, he shall not be cast out. He may have made himself as black as night. He may have made himself as black as hell itself. Yet if he will come to Christ, he will not be cast out. He said, I cannot tell you of the men that have come into the hall tonight. If burglars, if murderers, or worldly men were here, I would still bid them to come to Christ. For he will not cast them out. No limit is set to the extent of the sin. Any man in the world, any blaspheming, devilish him that comes to Christ shall be welcomed. He said that in 1884. He got it straight from the lips of our Lord. When our Lord said, all that the Father giveth shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The presentation, though, is plural. All. The presentation is plural, all. But the promise is singular, him. Because nobody can come to Christ for you. You must come to Christ for yourself. You must yield to his drawing, and you must come to him for yourself. And Paul said, to remind you, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day to come. And some of you here this morning that God has dealt with this past week, you ought to come. You ought to come today, and you ought to come now. Say with this in closing, there never has been, and there never ever will be, any who really want to come that do not come. We're standing, we're singing. I've told you once again this morning what God is like. He'll receive you, he'll welcome you if you will but come. As Brother Brian leads us.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, thou wilt receive.
He'll welcome you, he'll receive you unto himself.
Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
You say, well, preacher, nobody's come this morning to be saved. But if they've been given, they shall come. If they've been given, they shall come. He shall draw. My department's not the giving. My department's not the drawing. My department is proclaiming the promise. Some of you got lost loved ones. Some of you that are here this morning that are lost. Moms and dads, hold on to the promise. All that the Father giveth shall come. And him that cometh, he will in no wise, no, not ever, 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 cast out. How come? Because this is what God is like. We'll take up the rest of it next Sunday, good Lord willing. But I'm glad to know him. I'm glad to know him.